Just today, we find that the boy who was attacked by a shark on a boat and dragged into the sea off the coast of Tasmania was none other than a great white shark. This animal strikes fear into the hearts of many. But are we getting this all a bit out of proportion? Ruby Platt has the story.
And when surfers knew this tiger shark was hooked only a few yards from where they were catching waves off Ben Buckler, yes, they'll still be back there tomorrow.
A series of recent reports on sharks have all represented them in the same predominantly negative way. Where does this fear that so many feel for the species actually come from? Here is David Ropeek, a risk perception consultant, ex-journalist, and author of How Risky Is It Really? With his perspective.
We worry more about risks based on the nature of how we would die than the statistical likelihood that we would. Shark death is a perfect example. The nature of the experience of becoming dead is what matters.
Recently, there has been a series of shark attacks in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Cape Cod is a place that hasn't seen a shark attack in more than 80 years. Due to a rising seal population, people are beginning to lose their lives.
People are well aware of the risk of great white sharks now off Cape Cod. This young man who was killed knew about all of this, but he said to himself, the statistical risk is so low, I know it won't happen to me. So what he was using there is a cognitive trick that we use when we want to do something that we know is risky, and it's called optimism bias.
The 1975 film Jaws has had a significant impact on how society perceives the risk of sharks, in particular, the great white shark.
So there were stories in the news, but nothing nearly as comprehensive as the movie Jaws. And it singularly villainized sharks as man-eaters. And you could see shark fear rise dramatically immediately after that. If we've never thought about a risk before, the first picture sets the tone of how we think about it in the future.
The media is turning fiction into reality.
A silent predator blamed for two horrific maulings.
Probably 7 foot long bull sharks.
Now, the tiger's one of the sea's most vicious monsters.
Yeah.
And
a vicious and almost deadly encounter.
A strike. He's a 14-foot tiger shark, much longer than the fisherman's craft.
Today,
there's been another savage shark attack in the Whitsundays.
Men up in those helicopters and in the boats are authorized to shoot them if they see them.
Ashley Abchi is the director of Shark Conservation Australia. She believes that this language that is predominant in the media has been prevalent since the colonisation of Australia.
Sharks in Western culture never really had a chance from the beginning. As early as the first newspaper that was released in Australia, that's when the language started. And it started from a place of complete misunderstanding.
Now we ask, how can we reduce unwanted human-shark interaction?
We sort of advocate self-management and responsibility on each individual and knowing what the risks are. There's still not enough information given out by the government on when to swim, when not to swim. No, like, there's still people swimming near popular fishing spots where there's dead fish in the water, where sharks are going to come and seek out the fish. If we have beaches that have smart drum lines and no nets, that's a way better alternative than the former. Because the nets are floating fishing death nets.
Marine biologist, shark behaviourist and creator of the Fins United initiative, Melissa Christina Marquez, also mentions an ongoing program in South Africa that she believes would work well in New South Wales.
We need shark safety spotters. South Africa does a really good job of that, where they have people employed that look overhead either through lifeman posts or up on hills that overlook oceans, as well as deploy drones.
Melissa says that sharks are significant for the health of our oceans and marine populations, and that they also benefit our economy through tourism. She outlines that education is the key to reducing unwanted human-shark interaction.
We're not a prey item for them. Quite a lot of times it is misunderstood identity. How you view animals when you're a kid can morph how you view those same animals when you're an adult. So it's sometimes almost getting there before the media does, or any kind of bias does.
However, while sharks are not the man-eaters that the film and media industries have made them out to be, we should still be swimming with some caution.
Yes, some of them are dangerous. They're wild animals, just like any other wild animal. There are some risks, but they're really cool. They're really important. I'm hoping they keep that in the back of their mind as they're intaking all of this negative feedback.
self-education, and thorough risk perception is all that we need to prevent unwanted human-shark interaction and to ensure the longevity of this important species.
Next time you want to take risks, remember this gaping maw.
Ruby Platt delving into some dark waters there.